Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net. Today, Will Pruitt's pause review of last night's WWE Raw. We should also have the Raw viewership and ratings information available today and tonight, live coverage of WWE SmackDown and 205 Live. Coming up after the break for non-members, we'll tell you what's in store for SmackDown and 205 Live. We'll also discuss last night's WWE Raw, my Raw hit list, and some bonus thoughts. And I also want to remind you, join me on Friday night for live coverage of the Ring of Honor 15th Anniversary pay-per-view. First off, I hope you guys had a chance to check out the ProWrestling.net live show that Will Pruitt and I co-hosted on Monday afternoon. We discussed a variety of topics, including some TNA and Ring of Honor discussion, and we also took listener phone calls. It was mostly geared toward WWE Fastlane coming out of the show, and of course, looking ahead to WrestleMania. If you missed the announcement, we are going to be live on Mondays after every WWE pay-per-view at 3 Central, 4 Eastern at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET. And obviously with WrestleMania approaching, if you've been paying attention, we'll have more than just the usual Monday show. We end up doing quite a few scheduled details still to come on that, but we will definitely be doing more live audio shows WrestleMania week, probably certainly the Sunday special that we like to do, WrestleMania Sunday, and then I would imagine both the Monday and Tuesday, if not more than that. But stay tuned for more details on that. WWE SmackDown Live features the third number one contenders match for the WWE Championship in 3 weeks. First, we had the Battle Royal. Then we had Luke Harper and AJ Styles. And now we have Randy Orton and AJ Styles. That is tonight's main event. WWE is also advertising John Cena and Nikki Bella facing James Ellsworth and Carmella. And they are teasing, if you read the preview, kind of teasing potential number one contender updates for the Intercontinental Championship, SmackDown Women's Championship, and SmackDown Tag Titles heading into WrestleMania. The Dre is official. They also teased potential Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal entrant announcements, making it seem like who would be the first. Who would want to be in the Dre? Don't you want to be? I mean, I don't know. It just, I guess people have to be in there. And if you're, don't get me wrong, I mean, if you know, you want to be on WrestleMania, but, I mean, just from a storyline standpoint, you want to be in a match. You don't want to be in the Dre, but still, I guess we may get the first announcement tonight as to who is going to be in the Dre. As far as I mean, I think AJ is going to lose and be upset that he had to jump through all these hoops and he still didn't get a chance to be in the WrestleMania main event. That's going to set up a match with Shane McMahon. So I think we do get Randy Orton facing Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. That's been long rumored, and so, I mean, I think that match is going to happen still. As far as Intercontinental Championship, certainly looking like it's going to be Dean Ambrose against Baron Corbin. I hope they don't add to that. I'd kind of like just to see a straight-up singles match for the IC Championship. The women's match, not quite sure where exactly it's going. If they're going to try to get kind of have a multi-person match. We saw a triple threat announced on Raw. Will we get something along those lines on SmackDown? I mean, they're kind of setting up Natalya and Alexa Bliss, but I don't know that that's necessarily going to be a match they go to WrestleMania with. You would think Becky Lynch, Mickey James could be a part of this as well. So I'm not quite sure what they have in mind for that one. Tag titles, I would hope it's as simple as the Usos challenging American Alpha. I don't want to see yet another multi-team tag title. Nah, you know, I don't want to see a gauntlet match, any of that, the tag team turmoil, they call it. I don't want to see any of that. Just give me a single, you know, a straight-up tag team match, Usos, Alpha. We've been waiting for it. Mania's a place to do it. Let's make this happen finally, folks. You can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown as the show airs on ProWrestling.net. USA Network 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time. Jake will have you guys covered. I'll be by tomorrow with my WWE SmackDown Live hit list. And also, 205 Live, well, it's all about talking. It's a one-hour showcase of cruiserweights talking, apparently, because the only thing they've announced as of this update, well, Brian Kendrick is going to respond to Akira Tozawa's challenge, and Austin Aries has a message for Neville. he delivered that message in the form of a punch on Raw, but apparently we're going to get some talking. Now, I assume we're also going to get the usual three matches because that kind of seems to be the format that they go with, but no official match announcements as of yet. You can join Zach Zimmerman for live coverage of 205 Live after SmackDown tonight at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, and then Zach will be recording either an All Access or member exclusive. We haven't figured out the plan yet, but an audio review of that show as he does every week. .NET members right now are listening to over 2 hours of audio content recorded from just Sunday and Monday in addition to that all-access live show that you guys heard yesterday. They are listening to the 70-minute WWE Fastlane audio review that Jake Barnett and I recorded on Sunday night after the show, and my 52-minute audio review of WWE Raw from last night. The members also hear audio reviews of SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, Ring of Honor Television, the TNA Impact Wrestling Television shows. You guys hear some of those here on the All Access side, on the free side of things. Know that they're there every week for .NET members, so you may hear them here. And if you're like, oh, I wish this was here every week. Well, it is if you're a .NET member. They will also hear the flagship show, .NET Weekly, as last week Brian Fritz joined me, a guest to be determined this week, and also my full review of the Ring of Honor 15th anniversary pay-per-view that will be taking place on Friday night. You can join me for live coverage of that at ProWrestling.net, and then after the show, I will be recording an exclusive audio review for the members. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, visit the main page. Once you're there, get into the sign-up area. You can't miss it right there on the main page. Just click into there. Three different pricing options available. $7.50 for 1 month. There's a six-month option that'll save you some money, and the annual option brings that price down to an average of $5.50 a month. Yeah, you're going to save $2 per month by taking advantage of that annual option. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. As we like to do on Tuesdays, let's get into my WWE Raw hit list. If you've already read the hit list, well, you feel free to, well, you can listen, or you can skip ahead and stick around for my bonus thoughts on WWE Raw. But as we always do, let's start with the WWE Raw hits, Undertaker and Roman Reigns. A great close to the show, with Taker receiving the mega pop from the live crowd. WWE's top babyface was in the ring with their top heel, despite how Reigns is positioned. The atmosphere is terrific. The angle was simple, with Reigns telling Undertaker that it's his yard now, just as he did at the Royal Rumble. I love that Reigns said, with all due respect, before delivering the line. Is there anything more disrespectful to the Taker character than essentially telling him that you've taken his spot? Braun Strowman walking out after that stare down with Taker was intriguing. Strowman nodded, left the ring, didn't put up a fuss. I might be misreading this situation completely, but was this a step toward a Strowman and Reigns double turn? It felt like Strowman was being respectful to Taker rather than backing down in a heelish manner. The next hit is Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. WWE seemed prepared for the possibility of the Chicago crowd turning on Goldberg. He was scripted to be more humble than ever while telling the fans that the title belonged to them as much as it does him. It was actually comical to hear the crowd go from chanting Goldberg during his entrance to then being more of a, well, basically giving more of a mixed reaction once he held up the championship in the ring. I expect something similar from the WrestleMania crowd. The actual segment was well done. Lesnar's intense facial expression as he headed to the ring was great, and Paul Heyman's distraction line came out of nowhere, and therefore Goldberg didn't look like a chump for being thrown off by it just long enough for Lesnar to perform the F5. The next hit is Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, a strong opening verbal exchange. Jericho worked in some of the more popular elements of his comedic heel character while also coming across sincere as he questioned why Owens stabbed him in the back. Owens was delightfully sociopathic as he spoke about using Jericho while telling him that they never were best friends. I love that Owens wanted to face Jericho as much as Jericho wanted to face him. This wasn't a case of a heel trying to duck the babyface. It was two men who were both seeking revenge. The next hit is Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn. I've been critical of the way WWE goes back to this match for no good reason, but it was a logical move in this case. Owens needed the win, and Zayn put up his usual good fight despite taking the loss. The Zayn character is great in that he can lose a match like this, and it actually helps him long-term in the sense that when the time is right, the company will be able to tell a great story of the longtime underdog finally reaching the top of the mountain. The next hit is Neville against Rich Swann for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. WWE is finally getting the most out of Neville. He's carrying the Cruiserweight division and delivered two strong title matches on back-to-back nights. The near falls were believable, and it was nice to see the live crowd so responsive for a Cruiserweight match. Final hit, Austin Aries and Neville. The post-match angle was great. I love the way Aries was trying to get the interview back on track. It came off like a guy who was trying to do the right thing and then finally reached his breaking point. I wasn't sure if there would be enough time between Fastlane and WrestleMania to build up a match between Aries and Neville properly, but they hooked me after one segment. My guess is that they work the title match at WrestleMania while the other cruiserweights take part in a Money in the Bank-style ladder match. We are into the misses section, and we start with Bayley, Charlotte, and Sasha Banks. WWE finally figured out that the feel-good Bayley character should not feel good about winning matches via outside interference. And maybe this segment would have worked had we not just watched Bayley gleefully celebrate her win with Sasha Banks both in the ring at Fastlane and then again on Raw Talk. Another issue is that the heels continue to be right in their complaints. In fact, I suspect they're going to be right in seeing through Sasha manipulating Bayley. On a positive note, while the entire segment was confusing and the match with Bayley and Sasha was flat, at least they finally took a step toward making Bayley look like a good person again. The next miss, the Seth Rollins video, and I've heard some praise for this, but here's the thing. The Rollins character is supposed to be driven by vengeance right now. The Rollins we saw in the video package came off like a really nice guy who was working hard to get back in time for WrestleMania, not a man who was obsessed with getting his hands on Triple H. It felt like we were watching out-of-character footage shot for a WWE Network documentary. The Triple H interview helped tie things together, but that Rollins video package didn't feel like the same guy we saw on Raw last week. The next miss is Chris Jericho and Samoa Joe, and it's a minor miss in that it just felt like a match that simply could have been avoided, given that neither man could take a clean loss here. The countout finish was the right move, and it also felt flat. I would rather see Joe destroying undercard wrestlers at this stage of his main roster run than standing at ringside while Jericho stood tall at the end of the segment. That said, this could lead to something else next week, so let's see where it goes. Next miss is Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson against Enzo Amore and Big Cass for the Raw tag titles. The tag team division continues to be flat. So kind of a trend here. I guess I'm overusing the word flat this week, folks, but it is what it is. The coffee cup angle at the end of the match was hokey. My guess is that we're getting a triple threat at WrestleMania, despite the fact that they booked a number one contenders match for next week. It's hard to care about a number one contenders match when you don't care about the tag titles. The best bet to turn the tide would be to book Gallows and Anderson against Sheamus and Cesaro and let the four wrestlers deliver a strong-style match without an overbooked finish. The problem with the division isn't a lack of talent. It's the way the teams have been booked. The next miss is Akira Tozawa against Aria Davari. After giving the Cruiserweight title match a good amount of time, it was right back to a two-minute throwaway match for the second Cruiserweight match. The wrestlers did fine, and it was just the latest showcase of Tozawa, but it still, once again, felt flat. I continue to wish that WWE would give up on the cosmetic overhaul they gave the ring for the Cruiserweight matches. It's cool that 205 Live has its own look, but the makeover for the Cruiserweights on Raw makes it feel like they're taking a break from the regular Raw show for something inferior. Final miss, New Day. The act continues to feel stale, and this ice cream thing isn't nearly as fun as the company seems to think it is. And now let's get into my WWE Raw bonus thoughts. We've reached a crossroads with the Roman Reigns character. He defeated Strowman at the pay-per-view, and now he has a chance to defeat Undertaker at WrestleMania and then topple Goldberg or Brock Lesnar. He'll probably do both at some point. And I think the obvious question is whether Vince McMahon is going to have him do this as a babyface or a heel. I just can't even imagine the level of rejection that Roman is going to face if he stays in his current form as a babyface who they'll just take any reaction they can get. I know Chicago's a tough crowd, but we're just hearing more and more crowds. Just, you know, the boos far outweigh the cheers. L.A. was a nice crowd for him. It's not like every city's the same, but it just seems to be, there's this rejection to him, and I just fear that if they push him down the throats of viewers by having him really slay every big dragon that there is in WWE and have him end up as champion, it's not going to be people finally accepting Roman. It's going to be people completely rejecting him. And just, I don't know if there's going to be any coming back from it. Again, aside from a heel turn, I've said, you know, the heel turn really writes itself. You have Reigns beat Taker and outright cheating or some controversial fashion where maybe you give him an out so that you go into Monday and there's some mystery as to, I was just, you know, what happened there. Well, then you have him face new champion Brock Lesnar is the way I would do it. And I don't know if WWE would go this far with it, but I'd have him defeat Brock Lesnar with help from Paul Heyman. And the excuse from Heyman could be that he knew it was time to, he basically rode the Lesnar horse into the ground and knew it was over when Brock got beat by Goldberg in 1 minute and 26 seconds. It just seems obvious to me. And it, for people going, well, Brock doesn't cut good promos on his own. Brock doesn't want to stand in the ring and cut a promo. Brock cuts great backstage UFC style sit down promos. Limit him to that. He'd be great. And I think as good as Heyman and Lesnar are together, wouldn't be a bad thing to shake up that formula either. So I'd really like to see it happen. I just don't know if Vince McMahon is actually going to finally pull the trigger on this. If he doesn't, if that scenario plays out as expected, with the Reigns beating all of these people, it's Vince at his most defiant. And I just, there's still people, Road Dogg. Jake Barnett was pointing out that Road Dogg was defending this, and it's the vocal minority that are ruining a good thing or what. It's like, no, it's people telling you. I always talk about there's some great actors out there who are much better than people you'll see in key roles in a television show, for instance, or even movies. They just, for whatever reason, they don't hit big, but they're excellent at what they do. It's because the people just don't see him in that way. You can also say, well, the producers don't see him that way too. But the point is, there's that X factor, and whatever it is that have made people reject Roman Reigns, it is still very much there. And I think it's time to just give in, because I think it would be so beneficial to Roman Reigns. I think he would be a great heel. I think that the time would come coming out of that heel turn that this guy could ultimately be a better babyface. I just don't think now is the time to push him down the throats of viewers by having him beat Strowman and Taker and Lesnar and maybe Goldberg at SummerSlam. I mean, just come on, how far are we going to go with this? What's going to be left for this guy to do if he beats all these people? So hopefully now is the time. If not now, when? One of the other issues with the women's segment, Stephanie McMahon. I usually enjoy her kind of battling the Chicago fans with the CM Punk chants, but she usually does a better job of kind of being able to shut those chants down with some one-liner. They had her out there though in a really long segment, and she kind of countered the way the fans were chanting at her by just talking ridiculously fast. And as you know, I mean, what she was saying, this whole segment was confusing to begin with, but then you combine that with her just talking a mile a minute, and it was really hard to follow. I mean, I remember there was talk of like, it seemed like they were setting up Charlotte and Sasha for next week, but then that became Sasha against Bayley on this show. It's for number one contendership if Sasha wins, whatever. It just was all over the place. It was, like I say, hard enough to follow if everyone's talking at normal speed, but with Stephanie out there trying to just talk over the crowd, it made for a rough segment. So I'm not saying they can't put her out there in Chicago, but I would hope that going forward they stop, they remember this moment, and they just decide, we need to keep her out there in smaller doses. We can't have her out there trying to play some part in a long-winded story, long-winded verbal exchange like this one, because I think that was a mistake. Hey, Emma is back in coming soon mode. All right, I know everybody groaned. I think it was Michael Cole, one of the broadcast team members, even made a comment about it. You know what? I'm actually okay with this if they have a real end date in mind and a strategy with her going forward. I guess I wouldn't mind seeing them kind of do this all month. If you even want to play the game of maybe next week you say she's premiering the following week, and then you kind of do what they were doing. Oh, sorry, it's still coming soon. I mean, I wouldn't do this long. Maybe you do this until the night after. Maybe she returns the night after WrestleMania, or even better yet, maybe the week after. When it, I mean, the night after Mania is so crowded, and there's so many things going on. I mean, unless they just have something red hot in mind for her, which I kind of doubt. Then I would bring her back maybe the week after. Don't do this long, but I think you can have a little bit of fun with it, and I really hope they have something good in mind for her. She appears to be a heel. She's got the cop shades on and all of that, which is what she did in her heel run in NXT, and she's very good at it, but it sure seems like there is a lopsided number of heels on the Raw roster, especially if Sasha is turning. We don't know that she is, but It sure seems like the heels were making good points about her manipulating Bayley. I mean, the pieces are certainly fit together in that case. If they turn Sasha, I guess I would be waiting for one of two things. I guess either maybe a double turn with Charlotte, but I can't. Here's the problem with that is she laid it on so thick when she teased turning babyface before. And then she turned on her father again. It's going to be hard to follow, but I don't know. The WWE cares about that. They have short memories. Even the fans don't. At least Vince McMahon has the short memory. But so I don't know that that would make sense. Nia as a babyface, I can't really see at this point. I don't think it would be the right move. So I don't know if they would do some roster reshuffling, some trades or something like that. To bring in a different babyface, they'd call somebody up from NXT. Maybe Asuka ends up on the brand, but still, even then, like let's say Sasha turns, nobody else does. You still have Bayley against the world. I mean, it's bad enough that Alicia Fox, I think, works as a babyface when they have like six woman tag matches at the house shows because there's just a shortage of babyface women on the Raw side. So I think one way or another, they're going to have to even this out somehow, or at least do something to bring it a little closer if Sasha is going to turn. So I'm curious to see what that would be. I also hope WWE does right by SmackDown. And in saying that, I hope it's they have Undertaker make some appearances on SmackDown between now and WrestleMania. I mean, he's still a SmackDown branded wrestler, and I know he covered it to a point by saying that he he goes where he wants. And it makes sense for his character. He's Undertaker. Yeah, of course, what are you going to do? Stop him. But I still think it would be a wise move to, I think it would be good for SmackDown. And I think it would be good for WrestleMania to have some crossover there where Taker shows up to promote, maybe one of those shows, Roman Reigns shows up. And so you're promoting Reigns against Taker on both shows beyond just kind of, the announcers reading through the hype for the shows. It just seems odd to me that. Or I should say, it will seem odd to me if we don't see Taker on the Tuesday night show that he was drafted to at some point. I mean, you kind of look back going, why did they put him on this show anyway? What's he made one appearance on the show to tell you that WrestleMania no longer defines him and to tell people how much SmackDown means to him and that Team SmackDown better win? And then ever since, we've seen him on Raw. Am I forgetting an appearance? I think that's it. Michael Cole, just wanted to point out, he was really good during the first hour of the show. And as much as, Corey Graves is praised, and I think rightfully so, Cole really did seem to feed off that energy in the first hour. I don't know if it's he feeds off it well or he just, he raise if he has good enough material, if he's able to just raise his game. But I thought there was a real serious tone to his call, and it kind of just grabbed my attention and kind of helped me feel like, hey, it's the WrestleMania stretch drive now. This is important what we're seeing. Now, that whole thing kind of disappeared once the show quality dropped in the second hour. I would say after the Goldberg and Lesnar segment, things kind of went back to normal, it felt like, for a while there. And, they had the peak at the end and all that. But still, I just think Michael Cole catches so much grief, a lot of it for good reason. But, hey, I think it's important to point out to, the positive moments when they occur as well. Oh, and Byron Saxton was there too. Finally, today, please remember, subscribe to our daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. I can't emphasize that one enough. Take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. A big thanks to everybody who's done that, and a big thanks to everybody who simply hits retweet when they see me send out the link to this podcast on Twitter. It is really appreciated. You're helping spread the word about ProWrestling.net and our free audio content. That is going to do it for now, everybody. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. Take care.